Evening. To our guests, we are honored by your presence. We thank you for joining us tonight. If you have any questions or there's anything that you'd like to know more about as far as what we have done as worship or what we are about to see through God's Word, please, please do not go home with your questions. If you will, stay a few minutes and we would love to engage in that biblical conversation and allow God's Word to be the one to answer your questions. To our brethren as well, we thank you for being here this evening. As always, I am rejoiced to see all of you here, and it is always my great honor to be able to stand before you as a servant of God and of yours, and to be able to study together the Word of our God. If you will, please bow with me as we begin with the word of prayer. Precious Father and our Holy God, we call upon thy holy name, for we know that you have granted us, Father, that great honor to be able to do so, because we, Father, have dressed ourselves with that blood of your Son, that Lamb without spot, who gave his life for you, for us. Father, as we pray in his holy name, we start by first and foremost saying thank you. Father, we approach you with thanksgiving because you have given us the strength, the time, and the opportunity to once more reassemble here tonight. That, Father, as we return to your holy house, we come, Father, ready and prepared to worship thee in spirit and in truth. But now, Father, at this portion of worship, to be able to sit at thy holy feet to learn from you. Father, be with this thy servant. Allow me to always, Father, preach louder with my actions, that my life, Father, and my conduct may be bright, Father, and that those who see my light may know, Father, that I am one of yours. But not only I, but those, Father, who also have put on your Son through baptism, that we, Father, all may always shine our lights brightly before men, and that, Father, we may guide those who are in darkness, who perhaps are searching the light, that we, Father, may be those beacons that guide them, Lord, to the feet of thy Son, as we once were guided ourselves. Father, once more, thank you for always being with us. Thank you, Father, for the many blessings you pour upon us, for your mercy and your long-suffering. And, Father, once more, we ask for the forgiveness of our sins. Please forgive us every time that we have failed you, but Lord, grant us the time, the boldness, so that we may improve, that we may stop those sins that perhaps separate us from us, from you, Father, and that we may turn away from them, that we may find the strength to be obedient to the entire counsel that you have given us, and that we may, Father, always study thy word to show ourselves approved before thine holy eyes. Again, Father, thank you for these blessings. Forgive us once more. And Lord, with much love, we ask this in the glorious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. For the past few weeks, we have been studying what we have entitled this quarter, Marking the Blameless. As we know from the Psalm 37:37, by the time, hopefully by now, we have all ingrained or etched this passage in our mind. The reason why we are studying this is because the Bible teaches us that those are the ones whose end will be peace. But not only will their end be peace, in Psalm 15 we see that they are mentioned among those who will be in the house of our God, those who can stand in his temple. But we've up to this point seen character studies, or we've seen examples of individual people, of individual men who fill, of course, this description of being blameless, of standing before God in righteousness, of being upright. But today, tonight rather, as you've seen in Acts chapter 18, verses 1 through 3, I want you and I to see the value and the importance of having a blameless marriage. You see, marriage, brethren, is supposed to honor our God. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, the Bible tells us that marriage is honorable with a bed undefiled. Indeed, when God brought forth Eve to Adam there in the garden, we see that the intent was so that she could be a helpmeet to Adam. It was not good, God said himself, for man to be alone. And thus, as we read in the book of Proverbs, we see that indeed a man who findeth a wife findeth a good thing. But a man who finds a pious wife, a virtuous woman, woe, he has found an inheritance from the Lord. When we study the example of Priscilla and Aquila, indeed, I was truly rejoiced, so much so that I did not even know what direction to begin with when it came to study this subject. because of the fact that when we see their example, there are many things that we can learn from them. And I was indeed inclined in the beginning to perhaps study Aquila as a husband first and then Priscilla as a wife later. But again, what I want us to see is them as a unit, them as one in Christ, them as husband and wife, because we need more blameless marriages in our society. We need to bring back the honor that God gave marriage. We need to learn from what God declares to be honorable, to be reverent, something that is indeed treasured by our God Himself. You see, brethren, we've lost sight of what marriage is in our society. We've lost sight of the value and the importance of this institution that God established there at the Garden of Eden. And for those of us who can now say that we are married, we have been given a great blessing from our God. We have been given one of the greatest gifts that perhaps we don't realize was one of the first gifts that God gave mankind. Because of this, we should cherish it. We should use it wisely. And with our significant other, with our wives, for those of us who are husbands, and for those of you who are wives with your husbands, as one, we should bring honor to the name of our God Almighty. When we look at the example of Priscilla and Aquila, we learn how we can do that together. We learn how us, as husband and wife, are able to bring the name of God to the greatest honor that we can by being blameless together. And without a doubt, there is no doubt in our minds that in order for a couple or a husband and wife team to be blameless, both husband and wife must be in a state of blamelessness. And thus, when we see this example tonight, in the few minutes that we have, I want us to briefly examine this marriage. I want us to briefly see the marriage of Priscilla and Aquila as to how they indeed give us an illustration and they provide for you and I a model of righteousness. I want us to see how these two individuals as one were able to bring honor and glory to the name of Christ as a married couple. When we read there in Acts chapter 18, pay close attention to the fact that we read about them because they had been cast out from their home. One thing that you will see in every passage where Priscilla and Aquila are mentioned is that they are always together. They were always together, no matter what we read. If you will, turn with me there once more to Acts chapter 18. And I want us to once more read verse 2 and verse 3. Acts chapter 18, verse 2 and verse 3. The Bible reads, "And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome. And he came to them. So, because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for by occupation they were tent makers." Now, pay close attention to the fact that the Bible says that they were tent makers. Not only Aquila and Paul were tent makers, but we see that Priscilla was also involved in this business. What exactly she did, well, we do not know. But if you pay, or if you dig a little more into what the profession of tent making did, we see that according to certain dictionaries, one of the responsibilities that the women had was to put pitch upon the goat's hair that was used for the tents themselves. Because that tent or the goat's hair was not waterproof. And therefore, while the man or the husband was digging the holes and putting the posts and actually lifting up the goat's hair itself, which was very heavy, by the way, the wife was helping not only by placing pitch upon the goat's hair, but she was also mending the tent itself while the man was doing everything else. The idea is that when you look at the history of it once more, you pay attention how they were united, how they were able to work together, how they were always cooperating. Again, if you drop down to verse 7, notice what the Bible says there. Verse 5. "When Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. I apologize, that's not what I was trying to read. Go down to verse 11. And he continued there a year and months, teaching the word of God among them. When Gallio was of Achaia, the Jews with one accord, he rose up against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, "The fellow persuades men to worship." I apologize, brethren. Verse 18 is what I'm looking for. So Paul still remained a good while. Then he took leave of the brethren and sailed for Syria. And Priscilla and Aquila were with him. And he had his hair cut off at Cenchrea, for he had taken a vow. Notice how they're always together. Notice that everything they did as husband and wife, they did it as one. You see, they were there at Corinth working with Paul's tent makers. Their business was there. Their industry was there. But when it came time for them, for Paul, Paul decides to go to Ephesus and he brings Priscilla and Aquila with him. And they follow him to Ephesus. You see, they were united in this. When we think about this, think about the fact that like Sarah and Abraham, we see Priscilla following her husband's lead. But we see clearly Aquila speaking with his wife and together jointly making these decisions. You see, Priscilla wasn't simply going because she had to, but we see that they made these decisions together because their livelihood depended on it. They were moving from town to town. They had just left Rome because they had been expelled from Rome by that royal edict. Now they were there at Corinth working together. They were working along with Paul. Paul decides to go to Ephesus and they go with him. But then you know what else happens? We read verse 23, after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over the region of Galatia and Phrygia in order strengthening all the disciples. Who went to that region? Paul did. What happened to Priscilla and Aquila? They remained in Ephesus. They remained there in Ephesus. Look at the unity between this couple. Look at how their communication was truly declared by their actions. Everything they did it together. So much so that even the pages of Scripture has kept them together. We never read about them separately. Whether they were in Rome, whether they were in Corinth, whether they stayed at Ephesus, we always read about this married couple remaining and working together. Whether it was working in the industrial and in the industry of making tents, or whether it was working in service of God at the congregation there at Corinth, at the congregation there at Ephesus, and then eventually, Romans chapter 16, at the congregation there in Rome. We see that Priscilla and Aquila were a united front. They worked together, whether it was on their earthly affairs or whether it was on the spiritual affairs, they were always united. They were of one mind. They spoke one thing and the same thing. And they worked as one single unit. But brethren, I do want you and I to go back to Acts chapter 18. You see, there's another thing that you and I can read and can learn. When we look there in chapter 18, verse 18 and 19, we've already read it, but we can read it again. So Paul still remained a good while. Then he took leave of the brethren and sailed for Syria, and Priscilla and Aquila were with him. He had his hair cut off at Cenchrea, for he had taken a vow. And he came to Ephesus and left them there. But he himself entered the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. These were people who had a business. These were people who had a livelihood that depended upon them. But they kept moving. They left Rome because they were forced to. But they started a life there at Corinth. But when Paul invited them to go with him to Ephesus, they went. Chances are that Ephesus, once more, they started that business all up again. And when Paul decided to leave, they didn't follow Paul simply because they were followers of men. No, they stayed, but not because of the tent business that was thriving. No, we don't read about the tent making business thriving. Instead, we read that Paul asked them to stay at Ephesus. There in Acts chapter 18, verses 24 through 28, and we'll get to that in a moment. But there in Acts chapter 18, verses 24 through 28, we see why Paul left them there at Ephesus. They were there to help the brethren grow. They were there to ensure that the truth of Christ was being taught in its entirety. They were there to develop the faith of many that were there. In fact, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And again, remember, this couple worked together. Notice that the point we're trying to make as our second point is that Priscilla and Aquila prioritized the spiritual above the physical. They put the needs of the church above their own needs. They placed the needs that the church had at Ephesus above their own business. They placed the importance of serving the church above whatever they may have been going through. But they did it together. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, read verse 19 with me. The Bible reads, "The churches of Asia greet you. Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord." Notice, with the church that is in their house. Romans chapter 16 verse 5 once more tells us that they had the church in their house. Many biblical scholars agree that it is a possibility that here in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 verse 19, this is the church of Ephesus. Remember that the church of Ephesus, when Priscilla and Aquila were left there, it was in its beginning stages. It was still in its infancy. There is a great possibility that Aquila and Priscilla opened their home there at Ephesus. But when we go to Romans chapter 16, verse 5, the biblical scholars agree that there in Rome, sometime in their lives, they went back to Rome. And when they went back to Rome, there is a highly likelihood that this married couple were the ones who started the church there in Rome. Remember that Paul didn't start that congregation. There's a strong likelihood that they were the ones who started that work there. But the point I'm making is twice. Twice we see that Priscilla and Aquila had the church meet in their home. They used of their means in order for the church to assemble together. They used of their own resources in order for the church to be able to worship in spirit and in truth at their home. There was no need to look for a location. There was no fear that there's no place where they could worship together. In fact, remember that very likely this was still true even when the Roman Empire decided to persecute the church. But again, we'll get to that. Pay close attention to how this couple prioritized the spiritual above the physical. You know, they were already putting their business at a disadvantage because they were leaving it, no matter how lucrative it might have become. But not only that, we see that now they're using of their own resources. Because in the book of Acts, we read about how they broke bread together. They not only opened their home and then after they met, they sent everyone away. No. Remember that during the first century, fellowship was valued very highly. They would gather together. They would eat together. They would spend every day during the week. Remember that in that time, the Bible says that the brethren met every day. They did this daily. So Priscilla and Aquila always had brethren at their home. They always had Christian men and Christian women eating of their food, drinking of their water, using of their resources. And they did it without grumbling. The Bible, once more, notice the Bible says, Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily. They enjoyed doing this. They rejoiced in opening their home. It was their great pleasure of using of what they had in order to serve the church. And they did it together. Yes, we need more blameless marriages in our church. We need more blameless marriages in our society, in our country, in our world. Marriages like Priscilla and Aquila, who are not only united, but we see that they prioritize the spiritual above the physical. That they put the needs of the church above their own. That they willingly and heartily want to be in fellowship with the brethren. And therefore, they provide a way for that to happen. They provide resources that may help so that this can actually take place. See, brethren, we have to remember 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 and verse 9, where the Bible commands us to be hospitable with one another without grumbling. We will be able to achieve this goal when, like Priscilla and Aquila, we prioritize the spiritual above the physical. When we don't look at the fact that what little oil and what little flour we have left, if we invite the brethren into our home, well, we're going to be left without food for ourselves. No, we remember the example of that widow from Zarephath, whom the prophet told and assured that if she served them and gave what she had, there would always be oil and flour in her home. And so it was. Priscilla and Aquila didn't have to worry about their business. They didn't have to worry about running out of resources, because God always provided for them. The fact that they were able to have a home and do it twice, 1 Corinthians 16:19, Romans 16, verse 3 and verse 4 and 5. Twice they were able to have and host the church in their home. That indicates that, well, their business was going fairly well. But it wasn't because it was their priority. It was because they had devoted and dedicated their business to the kingdom of God, for the furtherment of the kingdom. They placed the priorities and the needs of God's church above their own. Indeed, what a marriage to imitate. What a marriage to learn from. Imagine that both husband and wife are in agreement that the kingdom of God comes first. Both husband and wife are in agreement to use their resources for the furtherment of the kingdom. Priscilla didn't have to argue, Aquila didn't have to argue with Priscilla. Priscilla didn't have to argue with Aquila. She didn't have to try to convince him why this was important. Both of them knew the value of this. So much so that time and time again, not only did they open the church, we see that they left behind what they had to follow Paul in his journey, in his mission trips, to stay and to serve the kingdom of God. You see, brethren, we see then that they had a unity in their marriage. We see then that they, as a husband and wife, prioritized the spiritual above the physical. But finally, we also see, brethren, how, and if you will, turn with me to Proverbs 31, how this marriage was a virtuous marriage. And we'll see first Proverbs 31, and then we'll go into why in the book of Acts, or in the book of Romans, excuse me. Proverbs 31, verse 10 and verse 11. Proverbs 31, verse 10 and verse 11. The Bible reads, "Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies." Amen. "The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain." Aquila trusted his wife, Priscilla. Priscilla trusted her husband, Aquila. Their bond, brethren, their communication, their priorities were all aligned with one another. And because they were both spiritually minded, because they were both spiritually driven, Aquila trusted in his wife. He trusted that he had a virtuous wife. He knew the blessing that he had before him, and he treasured his wife, and he used his helpmeet as a helpmeet is to be used. Now we go to Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18. Pay close attention to Acts chapter 18, and we'll read verses 24 to verse 26. The Bible reads, "Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately." Who taught Apollos? According to the Holy Spirit's inspiration, Both of them did. It wasn't just Aquila. This is where we see that Aquila trusted his wife. He knew the treasure and the value that he had. He trusted that his wife was essential to what he was about to do with this eloquent man, with this educated man from Alexandria, with this man who was mighty in the scriptures, but was lacking the essential instruction. Pay close attention to the fact that Aquila brought his wife along with him. He did not leave her behind. He did not tell her to go wait for him outside. He did not have doubts that his wife would perhaps cause him to stumble or perhaps become a hindrance to the teaching of Apollos. Aquila knew the level of spirituality that his wife had. Aquila valued the faith and the understanding of his wife in Scripture. He knew why God had granted him this virtuous, godly woman, and he used her the way he was supposed to. Notice how Aquila trusted his wife. He knew that she would be an asset to him in teaching and guiding Apollos to understand more accurately the way. And she was. Not only was she instrumental with Apollos, but Priscilla also assisted Paul and Aquila at Corinth. And again, notice that Paul trusted both of them to be able to make sure that the church at Ephesus would be defended from any wrong teaching that could have taken place. Paul didn't only trust Aquila, he also trusted Priscilla. You see, brethren, Aquila knew the treasure that he had. Aquila understood the reason that God had given him this virtuous wife. And he maximized it in service of the king. But notice that Aquila was also trusted by his wife. Now we go to Romans. Romans 16. Romans 16. We'll read verses 3 through 5. Romans 16, verses 3 through 5. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risk their own necks. They risk their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia, to Christ. Observe, friends. The Bible tells us in verse 4 that Priscilla and Aquila had risked their own necks, not only for Paul's life, but for also the Gentile churches. And even though Aquila had placed his wife in danger, and even though their lives had been threatened, and even though what they were doing was very risky, we read verse 5, likewise greet the church that is in their house. She trusted her husband. She trusted his leadership. Even though they had been in danger, even though their lives had been threatened, what exactly happened? There is no record in history. But we know that Paul says, they risked their necks for me. And it wasn't the only time. They also did it for the churches of the Gentiles. We owe them a debt. The risk that they as a home took for the kingdom, it shows the trust they had in each other. But you know what else it shows? The trust they both had in God. For those who are unmarried, this is why it's important for you to understand the great danger of marrying someone who is not like-minded. And I'm not only speaking about marrying a non-Christian, I'm also speaking about marrying a carnally-minded Christian. I'm also speaking about marrying a false Christian. You see, Priscilla and Aquila, they were able to reach that same mindset of spirituality, to where they trusted one another. Aquila had learned his wife and had seen the development of her faith and her spirituality. He had acknowledged her spiritual growth, that he trusted in bringing her with him to correct this very eloquent, mighty man. And together they taught him, and together they were able to correct the situation. Priscilla trusted her husband's leadership. Priscilla did not complain, nor did she murmur, nor did she accuse Aquila of not caring about their safety. She followed him to Corinth. She followed him to Ephesus. And both in Ephesus and then possibly in Rome, no matter how many times they risked their necks, they opened their home and the church met there, even if it meant losing their lives. Priscilla trusted her husband's leadership because she had seen the spiritual man that she was married to. She had seen the commitment of this man to take them both into the eternal promise that God makes to those who die faithfully. She knew that her husband was not going to lead them astray, and thus she followed. She followed because she knew, as Ruth would tell Noemi, "His God is my God. My God is his God." They trusted one another because they served and trusted the one and only true God. It was for this reason that they were able to prioritize the spiritual. It was for this reason why they were united and their bonds were so strong. Priscilla and Aquila, brethren, learned to live in peace and in harmony because they both placed God first in their lives. Priscilla knew that Aquila loved God above her. Aquila knew that as Priscilla loved God above him. And that was the reason why they loved one another, because they shared that with many other things in common. They shared their love for God and his church above all else. They risked their necks, says Paul. Not he risked his neck. No, they, together, risked their necks for me, likewise for all the churches of the Gentiles. Behold, a blameless marriage. A marriage that, no doubt, will truly always continue to teach us how to work out our own salvation in fear and trembling, but that it is possible to honor God with our home. You know, brethren, some of you may know this, but for those of you who don't, I remember that my prayer was after the downfall that I had, which of those of you who know, and those of you who don't, well, you don't. But I remember after learning that great valuable lesson that God taught me, my prayer was that I wanted to find a Priscilla. But with that prayer, I understood I will not find her until I myself am Aquila. I have to work myself to be at the level of Aquila. I have to be able to reach that level of wisdom that Aquila had, because he learned how to live with his wife in knowledge. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. But Priscilla was able to dress herself and adorn herself with that spirit of meekness and gentleness that Sarah did. And therefore, in the eyes of God, she was beautiful. And you know, brethren, when I found my Priscilla, now that I have her, I realize it's not easy being Priscilla and Aquila. I now understand the weight of the prayer that I was asking, and I understand that God is entrusting me to be able to honor him with my home. But I can't do it alone. She has to be on board with me. We have to be in unison. We have to be united in Christ, and we have to understand that God comes first, and we have to accept it cheerfully and heartily. it is still possible to have a blameless, upright marriage that honors the name of the Almighty today. But we have to understand the work and the dangers that we have to willingly confront. We must not be afraid, because you know what Priscilla and Aquila were doing together? Denying themselves, carrying their crosses, and following Jesus. Tonight, my friend, you can become betrothed to Christ Jesus. Tonight you can be engaged to the Son of God Himself. You see, in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 23, going on to verse 32, there we see the imagery, the comparison of Christ and His church as a husband and His soon-to-be bride. Or rather, a groom and His soon-to-be bride. But you see, the bride of Christ is His church. We, as the church of Christ, are the bride of Christ. And therefore, we were able to become engaged to Christ by being obedient to that great commission of being baptized into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But perhaps you have doubts. Perhaps you're afraid that you're not good enough for Jesus. Well, Christ will wash your sins away in the waters of baptism. He will make your life bright as snow, says Isaiah 1:18. But you have to be willing to accept His proposal. You have to be willing to trust Him as Priscilla trusted Aquila. You have to be willing to be of the same mind as Christ, as we are taught in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. My brethren, perhaps we have not been like-minded with our spiritual husband. Perhaps we have not been gentle and meek, and we have not been following the entire counsel of God. Perhaps we have been a nagging wife. But we can repent. Christ will always take us back. Christ will always forgive us because He loves us. And the last thing He wants is to be separated from us for all of eternity. Tonight, those of us who have the great honor to stand before God in righteousness, we can pray for you. We can pray with you. And we can encourage you with God's word in hand. We can help get your clothing white again. And we can help you learn how to avoid staining it again. If anyone is subject to tonight's invitation, won't you come forward as we stand and we sing?